Ames Public Relations Officer. Susan Guiasta has joined us for monthly check-in. And Susan, you've brought a guest.
Well, it is March 1st, but it feels right. Like we are still very deep into winter, and it's been a tough winter for most of us, but I think it's been the toughest on our City of Ames plow drivers, and so I brought with me today Justin Clausen, who's the operations manager at the City of Ames. I just want to thank them for all the work they do, pulling multiple shifts, working so hard day after each snowfall to try to get those streets cleared. We've had some challenges in our most recent snowfall events, and we, again, always appreciate the patience of our citizens.
Thanks, Susan. It's been a long 6 weeks here. This past storm in particular was really difficult to deal with for in a lot of reasons. And I just saw this morning that National Weather Service in Des Moines said this February for 2019 was the snowiest February on record. So we've just all gone through the worst February and we survived, but there's still a lot of work to do. Unfortunately, I don't think Mother Nature is going to let us out of the ice box here for a little bit. So we're still battling things here.
So you must keep track of the weather pretty carefully.
We do. It's part of the job.
So tell us a little bit about how this all occurs from the point of view of a snowplower.
Thank you. I'd love to present that view for you. And I'm not even sure I'm qualified to do it. So really what happens a lot of times is when we start seeing a snow event come in, we're going to be on the streets ahead of it. This past event that everyone's kind of familiar with started with rain, then sleet, and then heavy snow, and then a blizzard. So we were out in trucks by 8 p.m. on Saturday night. And really that first bit, what you're doing is you're going down and trying to make sure that things don't ice up immediately. So we're at intersections, we're applying de-icing chemicals. One of the biggest challenges in this past event is the amount of rain we had in advance. So anything we put down gets washed right to the gutter pan, so it's gone. So we struggle with that a little bit. And the other thing that really hit us from there was the temperature dropping about 20 degrees in, you know, about 6 hours. So that doesn't seem like a lot, but when it goes from 33 to 13, all of that rain and sleet and slush just bonds right down to the pavement. So what these operators are seeing is as they're plowing, it's getting packed down and it's bonding right to that pavement. So what happens is what we've seen on the streets here the first couple days after the blizzard, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we had a lot of ice packed down there. And so these plow drivers are driving around and you've got cars that are parked in the street, so they have to move around them. So that means they leave a pile of snow behind them. Then when they get back in, they leave a pile of snow in front of them. And the street never gets really plowed curb to curb very well. That's part of the reason why you see some of the snow ordinance that goes into effect on certain streets so we can get that done. And with as much snow as we've had, the snow piles on the parking keep getting higher and higher and higher, so we can't push that snow as far as we want to. So the streets get a little bit narrower, and then as you meet vehicles, it's difficult to get around things.
Are there designated areas for the snow piles?
In the downtown area, there are where we actually push and pile snow. We do have, you know, we usually try to use corner stalls in that area down here or any other business districts. Try to keep them away from the front of people's businesses and properties as much as possible, because we know with 7 inches of snow, those piles get pretty big. And then we go back, and, you know, as soon as we kind of have things looking in as good a shape as we can get it, we go and start hauling that snow out, just because if we leave it right now it doesn't melt, but sometimes it melts too much and then it refreezes or the piles get too big. We need to make room for the next storm.
And where does the snow go that you're moving away?
So it goes over. We've got a materials yard on the east side of town, and we've got a big, oh, it's probably 25-foot tall pile of asphalt that we drive up on top of it and we dump the snow on top of there. And then we let Mother Nature do its work when the sun comes out and it actually melts. And what that does for us is, by piling it there, it runs over ground and any of the debris or any other stuff that's in it gets out before it gets into the Skunk River. So it eventually all ends up there. So we pile it, most of it in the east side of town. We have a few other places, like by the middle school, there's a small area there that we utilize. And then we've been trying to utilize the parking area at Furman Aquatic Center. Since it's closed in the winter, we've got a place where we can at least pile some of that. And again, it all melts and goes away by spring.
What?
So many questions.
Yes.
We're sitting here with our mouths hanging open.
I know. So, you know, one of the things that I really want to touch on is we've all talked about this last winter event and how, you know, the roads have been in rough condition. And we agree. You know, we're not going to hide behind anything and say, they're okay, because this was tough. And one of the reasons it was tough was, as I mentioned earlier, that rain, that sleet, all that came down right before the snow started, and then it bonded to that pavement. So when we talk about anti-icing, about preventing that bond when we do brine and that sort of stuff. That's exactly what we're doing. Unfortunately, in this event with the rain and all that before, we couldn't do that. So when the temperature dropped, we were in single digits for close to 42 straight hours right after the snow. Road salt, sodium chloride, is not effective at single digits. If you take an ice cube and you put as much salt as you want on it and put it in your freezer, it won't melt. Maybe after many hours, it'll finally start working. So we have to use things like calcium chloride, mix that in there, which is a really kind of a high-grade de-icer. And while that works to a certain extent, it's also highly corrosive. It attacks our vehicles. It attacks your vehicles. You know, we try to limit the use of it because we also need to be environmentally conscious on things. But even the use of that at these low temperatures doesn't make things melt right away. So what we're up against is the temperatures, the bonded pavement, and there's only so much mechanical scraping that we can do to get it up. So Monday and Tuesday after the event were really rough on the roads. Finally, about 2 o'clock on Tuesday, things started to come up temperature-wise. We were able to get out there. Our salt started working, and we started scraping things. So really, by end of the day, Tuesday and Wednesday, we had most of the major streets in town looking very good. Now, that's not what we typically do. We usually have them looking good, you know, within 16, 18 hours after the storm, not necessarily 2 to 3 days. But, you know, sometimes we're only judged on our last event. So, we can do good once. You get one bad event, and that's all people remember. So we want to encourage people to hopefully remember the good stuff we do too, because I know it's difficult at times for us to get things changed when we need to, when Mother Nature deals us a hand like that.
So your plow drivers are on call 24 hours?
Yeah. So we worked, as I mentioned, 8 p.m. on Saturday, and we worked straight until 11 p.m. Tuesday. I think that's 72 straight hours. Mm-hmm. And then we took 5 hours off. We came back at 4 in the morning, and we worked till 9 o'clock that night. And then we took I can't remember what happened after that. Days are running into each other anymore. But, yes, we work around the clock.
So what's the most common thing you hear the drivers say when they come back? What's their comment?
The car's parked on the street, working around cars or around traffic. We were just the other day, we had two motor graders running side by side down Lincoln Way, and we had another truck behind them basically applying de-icing chemical once they were done. And there was a little bit of a gap between the two motor graders and that de-icing truck, but there are vehicles that try to get between them. They come up and they think, well, I need to get around these guys, so I'm trying to weave in and out of traffic, and that's dangerous. Mm-hmm. And our big equipment, there's only so much we can do sometimes. Thankfully, no one got hurt, no one got injured, but usually it's the vehicles or the parked cars that are the biggest struggle for them.
Thank you. Justin Clausen with the – tell me again your actual title.
Public Works Operations
Public
Manager.
Public Works Operations Manager. Susan, we've got about 3 minutes.
Well, and I just want to add one more thing about the streets. So one of the problems we have with all the work we do at plowing the streets has left some potholes, and now that's our new complaint. And so it's kind of a vicious cycle. As we work on the streets to clear them, there are going to be potholes. We will get to those.
Absolutely. Okay. It's part of that mechanical scraping. Unfortunately, it's tough on the streets too. And as things they pop up, you know, let us know, reach out to us, and we'll get on them.
Thank you, and thank you for your work here in Ames.
Thank you.
Yeah, one of the ways that you can report problem areas to the City of Ames is through our Ames on the Go app, which is available in your app stores, whether you have an Apple or an Android phone, and also through our website. You can go to cityofames.org, Ames on the Go, and report any kind of issue with streets, stop signs, really anything. Just let us know and we'll get to it. Just a couple of things. March is the month of, it's hard to believe, but fire hydrant flushing. That's kind of a spring activity. That will start at the end of the month, beginning on Wednesday, March 27th. So be aware that that is coming. And then also, we had a retirement recently. Long-time Ames Library Director Lynn Carey retired. We are trying to hire a replacement for Lynn, and we have two candidates coming in the first couple of weeks in March. Amy Phillips will be here for a public presentation 4 p.m. on Thursday, March 7th, and Sheila Schofer will be in at 4 p.m. on Monday, March 11th, both of those at the library for a public presentation. So we'd love to hear your input on those candidates.
Thank you, Susan. Susan Guiasta from the City of Ames, Public Relations Officer. Really appreciate you coming in.
Glad to be here.